You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of January 16th, 2014. My name is Atta Dizdar, and returning to the podcast for the first time in about a month is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, you were out of the country for New Year's. How was your trip, and welcome back?
Oh, thank you, Atta. My trip was spectacular and amazing. I got to visit a lot of really interesting places. Including Istanbul, of course, and right as some of the riots were sparking back up too, so that kept it interesting. I had plans to go to one of the matches, but I didn't have time. So in terms of football, I think I really let everybody down. I was going to go to that Fenerbahce Kayseri match because that was the only real match happening in Istanbul. No offense to our beloved Kasımpaşa fans out there who would argue, but I had a wonderful time nonetheless. Good to be back as well, I would say, and back in the country and back on the podcast, still in the mid-season break we are, but I guess that's coming to an end pretty soon, right?
Right. I believe the league starts back up next weekend, so at least we'll have some sort of a preview of next week's league games. There are some matches now that are going on in the Turkish Cup. We've still got 8 teams still in the running for it, and we'll just talk about those real fast. And Jeremy, you had also wanted to mention the Antalya Cup. I think it's the Turkish Airlines Antalya Cup that Galatasaray, Trabzonspor, Celtic, and Ajax participated in this past week. I didn't actually want to talk about it because I thought it was more like overblown friendlies, but you insisted, and I'll let you talk about that right now.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take the blame for this one. It's an exhibition tournament, and, it's safe to say that none of the teams really sort of field all their best players, per se, but it still gives most of the boys some action. At least most of Galatasaray's A squad were playing. The same can't really be said for Celtic, who got the better of Trabzonspor 3-1, and Galatasaray beat Ajax in the semifinals, and the two played in a really intense final, which I was watching at the same time as a Scottish friend of mine who's a big fan of Celtic, and so we were back and forth a little bit on Facebook at the time, but that was a really entertaining match, I thought. Scoreless though it was, it went to penalties. Well, there were just some really amazing penalties, and Fernando Muslera actually had the only saved penalty in that one. So Galatasaray did eke out the victory in the championship. Celtic don't feel that bad though, because about half their players were teenagers, and from their perspective, Galatasaray's in the knockout stages of the Champions League, so losing on penalties in Antalya to Galatasaray wasn't really something that had them feeling too bad. But just from seeing that match, it sort of had the intensity of a match that meant something, right? I mean, there were near, I would say near fights, but there was definitely some tussling going on, I guess you could say, some tussles. So it was obviously intense there a little bit in the end, because penalty shootouts tend to be like that. But I guess the main point is, at least Galatasaray and Trabzonspor haven't been completely idle during the midseason break, what with the Turkish Airlines Antalya Cup, as well as the actual Turkish Cup, which I guess you wanted to tell us about.
Right. I mean, the highlight of the final, I mean, you know, that tournament, you know how, like, we have here in the States, you know, during the summertime, you know, that International Challenge Cup or Champions Cup or whatever it was, where all the European teams come over, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That tournament. And, like, the LA Galaxy, you got, like, Inter Milan and, like, Chelsea coming over, and, you know, they're playing, like, their C team or something like that. But, you know, you wanted to talk about the Antalya Cup, and, well, the one highlight for me was apparently Eray Işcan either kicked the ball towards the trophy and the trophy broke. Something like that.
Yeah, aren't those supposed to be made of, like, real valuable materials, which don't... Right, so easily. That's kind of funny. I mean, like, because that sort of drives your point home, which is that the Antalya Cup's a joke, and, you know, and
well, it's a joke. It's just like it's more like overblown friendly.
But dude, if the trophy can break because a ball hits it and falls off the table, then you kind of have to wonder a little.
For these teams, I mean, at least it's like playing time. But I just consider it like overblown friendlies. I mean, it's just like, you know, when Inter Milan and Chelsea come over here to the States. That's just my view on it.
Well, yeah. It's just more. No. I mean, look, and I'm not trying to overblow it, but I think it deserves a little bit of attention. You know, it's just, you know, it happened. Galatasaray won. Maybe they feel good about that. You know, maybe some of their, you know, just so when the season starts, we're not saying, oh, gee, they haven't played a game, you know, in a month and a half. They've had Turkish Cup action, and they've also had Antalya Cup. They've been, you know, almost as busy as they are during the season, albeit with a lot less pressure. But, you know, there's been some football, I guess.
Right. Well, let's transition to the Turkish Cup group stages then. That has kicked off this past week. We actually have two games coming up this weekend in midweek. But let's talk about Group A and Group B results. To start with Group A, Akhisar Belediyespor on the road beats Eskişehirspor 2-0 with goals from Omar Nias in the 17th and 21st minute. Jerry Okominko got a direct red card in the 90th minute there. And Bursaspor beats Sivasspor 2-1 with two goals from Stanislav Shestok, while Burhan Esher gets Sivasspor's only goal. In Group B action, Elazığspor and Antalyaspor played to a 1-1 draw. Serdar Güler got the scoring started there in the 29th minute with a goal for Elazığspor. And Emrah Basan gets the tying goal in the 47th minute for Antalyaspor. Two red cards in this game, one for both teams. Özgür Özkaya got two yellow cards, first in the 33rd and second in the 67th minute, while Tita of Antalyaspor getting a direct red card in stoppage time of the second half. And Galatasaray beating Tokatspor 2-0 with goals from Selçuk İnan scoring off a penalty in the 69th minute, and Nordin Amrabat in stoppage time of the second half. So I was looking at the Galatasaray game, and you know, I was hearing about it, and you know, playing, you know, Wesley Sneijder in the match, I thought, you know, I would have thought that maybe Galatasaray would have creamed Tokatspor, because Tokatspor is down in like the third tier, and maybe Galatasaray would have just, you know, rested up starters and just put out maybe like a B squad or something like that. But, you know, all these results, I mean, Akhisar Belediyespor, you know, here we are saying they haven't won on the road in the Turkish League except for, you know, the 17th week where they beat Kasımpaşa. And we see them get a win on the road in the Turkish Cup group stages to kick off their campaign there. So, really much ho-hum, I guess.
Yeah, and then, you know, maybe they're finally turning things around. Of course, it's not too late, just halfway through the season. And, you know, certainly a shutout road victory against Eskişehirspor, even though it is the Turkish Cup. I mean, it's still certainly something to play for, and you know, the likes of Eskişehirspor and I guess even to a greater extent Akhisar Belediyespor, when it comes down to the end of the season, the Turkish Cup might be their best chance to, you know, get to play in Europe. So, especially in the case of Akhisar Belediyespor. So, great start to the competition there. Of course, when the group stages, so all the teams have two more matches to play. Well, I guess against each team. So, you know, we're going to see some more games coming up from them this weekend, actually, when Akhisar Belediyespor hosts Bursaspor. It'll be interesting to see if they can handle them, especially after coming off that victory against Sivasspor as well. And then, of course, Sivasspor will be hosting Eskişehirspor over the weekend. Group B of the Turkish Cup, man, I mean, Galatasaray, they're the best-looking team still in the competition because they lead their group with 3 points thanks to that draw with the Elazığ Antalya. So, yeah, I agree with you. They should have probably creamed Tokatspor by a more convincing victory than 2-0, given that they are in the third tier of Turkish football, Tokatspor. But Galatasaray, they don't... I can't remember the last time they really did cream, a team they were supposed to. It seems like they put in just enough effort or sometimes, unfortunately, just not enough. But I guess it'll be a test for them when they're on the road against Antalyaspor this Sunday.
And there are some games also in midweek, right before the league's supposed to start back up again, I believe.
Yep, that's true. It's true next Wednesday, I think, and... all those games are next Wednesday. So we've got Group A playing this Saturday, and we've got Group B playing on Sunday, and then both groups are going to play matches on Wednesday.
Okay, so we'll have two match days in the group stages to talk about next week. But you know what? Let's not do a break. Let's just soldier on. This will probably be a bit short of a podcast this week or something like that.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, I mean, it's not like there were a whole ton of games going on yet anyway.
Yeah. Plus, we've got some news about the whole Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş match from week 15 a few weeks back. I don't think you were around when, we reported on that or reviewed that. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. But first, let me just get the news out of the way. Bursaspor defender Serdar Aziz has extended his contract with Bursaspor for an additional year. His contract now runs until 2018. Midfielder Musa Çağran has been signed by Karabükspor from Bursaspor for an undisclosed fee. He signs a 3.5-year contract with Karabükspor. Tanju Kayhan has now been loaned out by Beşiktaş to Elazığspor for the rest of the season. He was on loan to Eskişehirspor for the first half of the season. Bursaspor have acquired Brazilian midfielder Renato Caja on loan from Guangzhou Evergrande for the rest of the season. Antalyaspor have acquired defender Joseph Boom from Mersin İdmanyurdu, signing him to a 1.5-year deal. They have also acquired midfielder Eyong Eno from Ajax on loan for the rest of the season. Trabzonspor have scrapped the transfer of Galatasaray midfielder Yektar Kurtuluş. Both clubs had agreed to the transfer, but Trabzonspor quashed the deal due to Kurtuluş's contract demands of 1.25 million euros a year with a 10,000 euro match bonus. Some bad news for Galatasaray on the injury front. Galatasaray midfielder Bruma has suffered an ACL tear during Galatasaray's Turkish Cup group stage match against Tokatspor. He's out for the rest of the season. Referee Cüneyt Şekir has been selected by FIFA to referee at the World Cup in Brazil later this year. He becomes the second Turkish referee to arbitrate a match at the World Cup since Doğan Babacan in the 1974 World Cup. Babacan is best remembered for showing a red card to Carlos Cazaly of Chile during the opening match against West Germany, and that was the first red card in the history of the FIFA World Cup. And the big news of the week this week concerns the Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş match from week 15. If you all remember, that was the whole Ryan Dunk spiking the extra ball onto the ball in the attack. Well, the Turkish Football Federation has ruled that that match will be replayed. It won't be replayed from the minute that Donk spiked the ball or anything. The match has been totally scrapped, and the match will be replayed in its entirety. So before we get to that discussion, anything you wanted to talk about or give some opinions on? Cüneyt Şekir, refereeing in the World Cup. It's not often we see a Turkish referee in the World Cup, although maybe some Manchester United fans will probably have a problem with Cüneyt Şekir for obvious reasons, but...
That's true. I mean, the guy's got a whole bunch of experience, in the Champions League and so forth. I believe in the last Euro as well, and he's a familiar figure. I don't think it's a shock, that he was... selected to be in the World Cup. I guess it's some consolation that there will at least be one Turk going to Brazil for the World Cup. Unfortunately, it's a referee and not any member of the Turkish national team this time. So at least a little bit of Turkish representation. Pretty much, you just hope that he's not made any more famous than he already is. It seems like referees are kind of made famous by making big mistakes or handing out cards too easily. But, you know, I'm glad he was selected. I mean, it's hopefully an inspiration for more people to think about pursuing careers as referees in Turkey. And, well, I think we can both agree that refereeing in Turkey isn't the best in the world. And if more people are going for it, then maybe it'll improve. Galatasaray losing Bruma for the rest of the year, that's pretty rough. That guy is definitely, you know, at least before he tore his ACL, had a lot of speed and could orchestrate some pretty good surprise attacks. So that's going to be, well, a bummer to miss out on. And hopefully we see a little bit of Tanju Kaihan, you know, on the field for Elazığspor, because I don't even remember seeing him come out for Eskişehirspor, though I guess he played in a couple of matches. But yeah, I mean, I guess most of the news is good news, except for that business with Bruma.
Yeah, but I mean, Bruma's still young, and, you know, he's got time, although I've been hearing, like, from some areas that, you know, he didn't quite live up to expectations. But, you know, he's a young guy, you know, you gotta let him simmer, you know. That's just my thing with him. He's just gotta simmer, because, you know, he's only 19, you know, he'll have time, and, you know, Galatasaray did pay a lot of money to acquire his rights and all that, and on transfer. So I've heard that Galatasaray's trying to appeal to the Turkish Football Federation to have his contract frozen, probably to open up another foreigner spot, because they did acquire Hajrović. And I believe his licensing, as of the recording of this podcast, hasn't gone through. So that's probably trying to open up another foreigner spot. So they want to freeze Bruma's contract. But, yeah, I mean, for Bruma, I mean, yeah, that sucks. But, I mean, he's young, so he's got time. I mean, he's got his whole career ahead of him.
Yeah, and I think the expectations for him were, you know, a bit high, too, probably because he is so young and fresh, and everybody kind of hopes that the next star is going to be that next guy. But, you know, it's still not too late for that to happen. It's just, yeah, it's just kind of a bummer, obviously. I wonder what else would happen if they were able to freeze the contract. I mean, if it's just for getting around the foreigner cap, I see that. But, you know, would it sort of have other effects or give them other rights in terms of, you know, bringing players on or keeping him longer or that kind of thing?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's just weird that I'm hearing about that. I mean, I know one person tweeted me earlier today when I put it up on Twitter before we started recording this podcast, saying they could do that. And like, I don't know.
Apparently,
but I mean, it's not like he got released when he was injured, like Milan Baroš did from Antalya. Right. But then again, these sorts of things, you know, it's just the crazy nature of Turkish football, I guess. But
yeah, speaking of which, I'm pretty much dying to talk about Kasımpaşa Beşiktaş. What do you think?
You know, you weren't here when we analyzed that whole situation. I mean, when you first saw the whole Ryan Dunk ball spiking thing, I wanted to get your opinion on that. I mean, what did you think when you first heard about it or saw it? Because I remember that I was listening on the radio, and the radio announcer was saying, you know, something weird has happened. You know, I don't think we've seen anything of the like. Ryan Dunk took the ball that was thrown in from the sideline and then spiked it at Hugo Almeida stopping the attack. I'm like, wait, what? So I wanted to get your opinion on that. I mean, what was your thought process? I mean, what was your opinion? What did you think when you first saw that?
I guess there's sort of two things that crossed my mind. When I first saw the replay, I could kind of see how it happened. I mean, he just sort of like picks the ball up thinking, wait, are we going to use this ball or what's the deal? And he just kind of held on to it as he kind of runs out to play some more. And then it was just, I think what was going through my head was similar to what everyone else must have been thinking at the time, which is like, this is just weird. Like, and then obviously, you know, when he throws this dead ball at the live ball in the penalty area, you're just kind of thinking, like, there is absolutely no way that he's not about to get sent off. I mean, like, how? But I think the thing that also really surprised me was that I guess there technically isn't a rule against that. It's never been really written in the rules that you can't throw one football at another one on the pitch. I mean, that no one's ever really put that language in. There's all kinds of language saying you're not allowed to throw foreign objects. You know, you can't throw your shoe at the ball. There are all kinds of things like that. You know, or somebody throws, you know, a water bottle onto the field, you can't pick that up and just sort of use that as a missile to kind of, you know, throw at the ball in case somebody shoots it at the goal or something. You know, that's spelled out real clear, but this sort of murky, you know, I can hardly.
I think this is something that, like, we've never seen before. It's like, well, this is so out of the ordinary.
And it's the kind of thing that no one would think of, right? Like, the people who wrote the rules were probably not thinking, like, yeah, but what if some guy just decided, you know, hey, what the hell? I'll just pick up this dead ball and start flinging it around. Like,
yeah, exactly, because the referee never stopped the match because the other ball came in from the sidelines.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I mean, if you're not going to do anything, I mean, I can just use this and just throw it at it. I mean, it sounds like an elementary school thing to do, but I would say, you know, I don't see any rules in the rule book against it, but, you know, it was just so out of the ordinary that you're thinking, okay, I mean, what is really the rule for this? But let me give a bit of factoids here, because you know we love factoids here. This is going to be the fourth occurrence of a match in Turkish Top Flight Football League history that a match will be replayed due to a rules infraction. August 21st, 1994, Gaziantepspor played Denizlispor and won 1-0. Gaziantepspor had a free kick from an offside call, and referee Sabah Hatin Şahin did not pay attention from where the ball was put back into play. TV replays showed that the ball was not put into play from the right spot, and so the match was canceled due to a rules infraction. And the replay of the match saw Gaziantepspor win 3-1. That was back August 21st, 1994. November 8th, 2003, Fenerbahçe played Rizespor to a 1-1 draw. Referee Ali Aydın showed a second yellow card to Rizespor's Gustavo Victoria in the 86th minute of the match, but Victoria did not get sent off. The match was replayed on January 18th, 2004, and Fenerbahçe won the replay 4-1. February 6, 2004, Beşiktaş played Gençlerbirliği to a 1-1 draw. Referee Kudusi Mutfuoğlu whistled once for a Gençlerbirliği free kick to commence. He whistled a second time for Beşiktaş defender Tayfur Avucu violating the 10-yard wall rule. And Mutfuoğlu whistled a third time after a goal was scored, thereby producing a rules infraction. The match was replayed March 9th of that year, resulting in a 0-0 draw. Beşiktaş officials had cried foul over the way referee Barış Şimşek failed to penalize Kasımpaşa defender Ryan Donk for throwing that extra ball in the penalty area to nullify a goal-scoring opportunity by Hugo Almeida. Now, the TFF ruled, after taking testimonies of the six match officials in the match, that Donk's action constituted a rules infraction. So they were saying that a penalty should have been awarded and a red card should have been awarded to Donk. So, Kasımpaşa coach Şota Arveladze said Donk's action did not constitute a violation of the rules. Slaven Bilic obviously thought differently. He argued that the match should have been awarded as a 3-0 forfeit win to Beşiktaş. And İhsan Kalkavan, who's in the Kasımpaşa board, he says his team does not accept that decision and will not take on Beşiktaş again. TFF boss Yıldırım Demirören said he will not respond to Kalkavan's remarks. If a team does not show up, it forfeits the game and receives a 3-0 forfeit defeat. The whole ruling is basically because Barış Şimşek did not give a red card to Ryan Donk and a penalty should have been called. And, you know, this is perhaps one of the most confusing things that we have seen because of the whole, you know, ball spiking thing that Donk did. Basically, I guess the TFF is saying, hey, the referee should have given a penalty, but the central referee board said, well, we trust our referees. You know, obviously they assign the referees, but the TFF thinks a little bit different, so the match will be replayed. And for Kalkavan to come out and say, you know, we're not going to play them again, well, I don't know. I mean, the whole situation is just resulting from one of the most strangest plays I think I've ever seen in watching the sport.
I think I can kind of see both sides. I mean, first of all, like I said, there isn't technically a rule against what happened. Now, we all look at that situation and we say, that's just absolutely wrong. I mean, you know, that's what a 7-year-old with a temper would do. And so it's just not right. It doesn't make any sense. So we all look at the play and we say, that's wrong and it shouldn't be allowed. But, I mean, you look at the rules and there isn't... You know, it's not really spelled out. So the fact that Kasımpaşa coach, you know, says that it's not a violation of the rules, and the fact that the referee didn't really take any serious action is sort of, you know, if you're really just going by the rules, you would say, you know, a strict interpretation of the rules, then you would say, well, actually it was dealt with more or less appropriately. But... You know, looking at it, it just does. It's just not right. So, I mean, I guess if you were sort of a, I don't know, like a idealist of some kind, or you know, a purist of proper football, then it's just wrong and it shouldn't stand. I mean, it's obviously that when the TFF looked at the replay, they said, you know, that's crazy. We're not going to let that go, and that. Just sort of intuitively and logically, you'd say, yes, the player should be sent off. Yes, that should be a penalty. So I guess the TFF sort of went by what everyone sort of knows in their gut. I think it's crazy of Slaven Bilic to think that they should just award a 3-0 defeat because of or a forfeit or whatever. You know, he's not going to get any flack from the Beşiktaş faithful for saying that. But I think that's, I don't really think that's reasonable either. Frankly, I'm not that bothered that they're having just a replay of the match, right? I mean, sports outside of the United States, at least with open leagues and this kind of thing, sports, including football in Turkey, the whole point of the season is to determine which team is the best and to make everything sort of as fair as possible. And so replaying a match, you're going to gain more information about which team is the better team than you otherwise would. Both teams will have had plenty of rest because they're not too busy and had this off season going for a while. So it's...
Well, they've been playing a few friendlies here and there. You know, I think Beşiktaş played a friendly against the Mönchengladbach or some German team. I can't remember which one, but, you know, it was just... one of those weird things. I mean, I know where you're coming from when it's saying that, you know, it determines who's the best, and, well, you know, I agree with that, but, well...
Do you feel like maybe Beşiktaş is a little bit lucky to get the replay? I mean, like, because it seems a little bit unconventional.
It does seem very unconventional, but I still think, like, there's some sort of referee error, because if I see there's another ball on the field... and the guy's already picked it up, I mean, I would have just whistled right away and just said, hey, get rid of that ball.
I mean, he probably assumed that Dunk was just going to, like he picked up the ball and he was going to chuck it off the field. Because that's what we all expected him to do when we saw that happen. We were like, oh, he's just picking up the ball to throw it off to the sideline like any normal person would do. So no need to stop play, right?
Right. But I guess because there was an attack going on, I mean... I think he looked at the referee, you know, my memory's a little bit shady, but, the game's still going, and, well, you play until the whistle blows. I mean, that's what's been drilled into, you know, even little kids. When they start playing the sport, you know, play till the whistle blows, and, well, he did a spiking thing, and, well, we're just talking about something that's, like, completely out of left field, so to speak. So, really... I guess I can see where you're saying you can see it for both sides, but I think a replay decision, at least if they were going to go with a decision, is fair. But I think, like, obviously, Kasımpaşa is going to feel like they've been disadvantaged because they're placing the blame squarely on the referee. Because I can see where people will say that it's kind of the referee's fault because, you know, he should have seen that second ball and blown the whistle. But that's just my interpretation of whatever rule that is, you know, when another ball comes out onto the field, you know, and
true, but look, if it had been a Beşiktaş player that did it, and then, you know, and then the game was replayed, then you'd say that was hugely unfair to Kasım Paşa. But the fact that it right. was a Kasım Paşa player, right? And then...
Right, and Kasım Paşa won the match.
Exactly.
So obviously they feel like they've been, you know, ripped off.
Yeah, except they would feel like they were even more ripped off if it was like a Beşiktaş player who was responsible for the, you know, for the infraction, right? Like, and I think if it had been, they might have just sort of let the victory stand or whatever, or, you know, or something. But I, you know, it's one of those situations where it's like there isn't really a perfect decision, and I think just replaying the match, I think it's fair. It's not like it's a huge, it's not like it's going to be a scheduling issue. There's plenty of time to work this match in, you know?
Right. I mean, Kasım Paşa, Beşiktaş, they're not in Europe. They're not in the Turkish Cup, so it's not like they've got that to worry about. So, you know, rescheduling this match and then, you know, just play another 90 minutes and see who wins.
Hey,
so,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and fair or unfair, it's going to be awesome, right? Because because you got two teams. I mean, I guess since they've canceled the result of that match, you've got Beşiktaş in third place and Kasım Paşa in fifth place. As it stands, they're two of the best teams in the league are going to have this all-out replay. I think it'll be entertaining for the rest of us, regardless of whether or not you think there should be a replayed match or not.
Right. Well, there is one other thing I think we should talk about before we end the podcast this week, that after the TFF made their decision, there were rumors being circulated that the Central Referee Board chairman, Zakaria Alp, he would actually tender his resignation, but TFF president Yıldırım Demirören rejected the rumors and says that there is nothing that required his resignation. And Demirören defended the TFF's match replay decision despite the Central Referee Board's opinion there were no rules infringement, saying that the TFF's board was not convinced by the report, and this does not necessitate the Central Referee Board head to step down. And Zakaria Alp issued a statement rejecting claims that the board had actually secretly changed Şimşek's report about the match. So, you know, this is just one of those weird situations that we have not seen. But, you know, the whole Turkish rumor mill and all that, and, you know, saying that the referee report was changed. So I'm thinking, okay, I think everybody saw exactly what went on. And I believe that the Turkish Football Federation, when they were looking at the match, I actually read an article that they voted 13-2 to replay the match. So, yeah, this, I mean, it's just a weird situation, but I think we'll put it to rest after the game gets replayed.
Yeah, hopefully, and I hope that somebody writes some language into the rules that makes it a little bit more clear, you know, something other than using a dead ball as a missile should be done in that situation. I mean, obviously, the referee should just blow the whistle and stop stuff if that happened again, but shy of that, obviously the TFF thinks there should be some kind of, you know, a red card or that kind of thing, you know, for that sort of behavior. So, you know, just going on that, I would say they should do something just to prevent this kind of thing from happening again, although it's kind of hard to think that it ever would.
Yeah, we're trying to analyze something that's completely, you know, out of this world. It's like we don't see this every day, so it's almost like we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we provide our thoughts onto something that, you know, is so, yeah, even I can't come up with really words for what Dunk did. It's just one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen in a soccer match. I mean, that is, it's just that simple. And
it's funny, you know, and the fact that they're going to have a rematch just kind of makes his action sort of more famous, right? You know, like now because there's a match, people are like, why is there a match? And now it's like even a bigger thing. Like, in a way, I kind of like that. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens and when that match gets scheduled. It'll probably be a midweek match, and they'll probably just, you know, play the match and, you know, have it over with, and then hopefully, you know, everybody, you know, shuts up about that sort of thing. But, you know, Turks have a way of, like, you know, holding on to grudges and things like that.
I'm sure this isn't the last we've heard of this incident.
Right. So hopefully when the match gets replayed and, you know, if there's a draw, you know, I guess it'll just be funny if that would happen. But we'll see what happens. And that will do it for this edition of Turkish Football Weekly. I guess it was a little bit shorter than usual, but Jeremy, thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was fun as always. Good to be back with you guys on the podcast, and certainly looking forward to sort of relearning Turkish football after this midseason break.
Yep, and, well, the league does get started back up next weekend. That's going to do it for this week, and we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.